if you were looking for a recent graduate. Of Toronto Baptist Seminary to preach this morning, you're certainly going to be disappointed. Josh called yesterday and he's not feeling well and his wife's been sick. So he asked whether Pappy, you could cover this morning for me. And I'm delighted to do that. And I'm delighted to have all of you this morning. We have a visitor, Mrs. Tyson, who's moved into the area, and welcome. Delighted to see you. We give announcements before we start the worship service. Congratulations, young man. The school I used to teach in, you gave him a rough time last night, didn't you? Basketball. Does that mean you're still in the playoffs?
No, we're not.
You're finished, but you did quite well. Yes, sir. The number one team was worried last night. Hughesville, as Austin was playing against them from Loyal Sock, and it must have been a pretty hot game in the first quarter or first half. That's good. All right, let's see. Concerning the announcements. Tonight, I'm going to put aside my message, and I think we'll be reviewing this DVD on Islam. What we need to know about Islam. It's on a short loan emphasis, and if you want to come and hear that, you'll have to come early, because it is over an hour. I thought we'd use that tonight, see how it... They're making quite inroads politically and socially, and the Muslims, you may want to come and find out about it. Our president said they're a peace-loving people. There may be some, but you'll hear the truth concerning that. Because it's on a short loan, I decided we'll use it tonight. And normally we don't do that. Preaching, the services are preaching, but it'll help you perhaps in the future. Then on Wednesday evening, we want to continue this matter of courtship, especially the daughters returning, the 21st century daughters returning home and under the care of their parents, their dad, especially in the choosing of spouses, including the sons. We've come to a little area concerning the matter of brothers and sisters in the home. And since I was raised in a home with a lot of girls, I'll be glad to share with you that subject of brothers and sisters in the home. Now, concerning birthdays and anniversaries and so forth, I'm delighted to report to you that my twins, or our twins, they're 43 years old today. They're the Jonathan and Joy, and they have a birthday today. If you think of them, pray for them. They do need the Lord's prayer, the prayer of the Lord on them. Then on Tuesday, most of you know Rachel and Shane Patterson. They're having their 13th wedding anniversary. One other thing, in our church website, which is www.localchurchpa.com, we're going to do some extensive repairing of that. And it takes time on Monday, tomorrow. That is, Brother Rick and I will be working on it. Now listen, do you have any input, any suggestions? That's why I'm announcing it. If you have, this would be the time to pass on to Brother Rick and myself the changes that you want. We're going to publicly advertise. So if there's any changes, I would appreciate you... You'd say, well, maybe you need to consider this, or maybe you need to do this. Would you consider looking at it and letting us know? We'll be working on it, the Lord willing, tomorrow afternoon. Well, that seems to be the announcements at the moment, except there's a funeral this afternoon. Donald Rovenolt, known him for over 50-some years, a funeral at the East District Mennonite Church this afternoon. pray for the Rovinhope family. Now then, let's enter into a worship time as we consider today's subject, which is, what is God's will for you? Me too. But I want to speak generally this morning, maybe even a little more specific in that, on this great subject. But we need to sing some hymns that have relevance to this subject of the will of God. And so let us first sing that, talk to our souls and say to our souls, Lord, bless the Lord, number 10. O come, my soul, bless the Lord, thy maker. so God's will with His kind and creating us and blessing us and His compassion to us like a father to His children that we have sung, and but we do fade and die like flowers that grow in beauty. And so high in heavens is His throne, and we can spend eternity there with Him. We know the Lord. Now, perhaps hymn number 696, that you may be a bit dismayed this morning. Maybe you need to hear the way the Lord works as far as our lives individually. 696. That gives me, if I can use the expression, chills when I sing that, God's will, and He says He's going to take care of us, friends. We need confidence and hope, and perhaps some of these hymns will encourage us to do that. How about hymn number 559 also, 559?
Yeah.
something we haven't done of recent, but it is the Word of God. It is Roman numeral 9 in the front of the hymn book, the Ten Commandments, being the Word of God, having applications. What is God's will for me? What does He expect me to do? And what would bless Him if I were to do it? These commandments are still applicable to the day in which we live. This being God's Word, let's stand in respect of it. And let's read together. And if you will treat each punctuation mark as a period, we might be able to stand together. Let's read it the whole page, which is the Word of God.
God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in it is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Hear also the words of the Lord Jesus, how he saith, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law.
Please remain standing. Let's have prayer. And our Father, this morning, we count it a privilege, an honor that we can come into your presence because our blessed Lord Jesus at the cross of Calvary made it possible that we have access to the throne of grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for this. And now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask that you would be blessed in this service. Bless each of our hearts this morning. We pray for the presence of the Spirit of God to have free course in each of our hearts. May your kingdom come into our very presence, and we also ask that thy will be done here this morning in earth as it is in heaven. And so we're asking for daily bread as you sustain us and you help us pay the bills and do the things that we need to do here in earth. We're grateful. We ask for help for those, especially your people who are having rough times. And we ask that as you give food to all flesh, we pray you remember our dear brothers and sisters in Christ and meet their needs and for those who are being persecuted. And as we understand from the media, there are many Christians that are being persecuted in this world. We pray for help and strength, for your presence, for your encouragement, and we pray for resolve that they may live in comfort, even as we have the privilege this morning here in our country. Look upon our country, the leaders, as they need help, even as it is a year for a selecting of leadership for the coming years, administration. We pray for your divine will totally. May we understand also that many times you give us the request of our hearts and send leanness to our souls. We don't desire that for our country. But Father, we have not been obedient even as these commandments individually and collectively as people and as a country, and especially our own country, we have not obeyed. We have been rebellious, and so may there be repentance. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray for your working today in each of our hearts. May the word as it is proclaimed go forth and prosper, and it will not be in vain as we're here this morning as the word is given. We ask for your pleasure upon and your help for those this afternoon with the funeral of Donald Rovinolt. Lord, help this family. We pray for Mrs. Rovinolt and her children and grandchildren and brothers and sisters. We pray that the preachers there this afternoon will give the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ for comfort for them. And may your presence be there, and may you meet hearts. We pray for those of our loved ones who need help spiritually, and but not only spiritually, but physically. We are grateful, Lord, that you give us this ministry of praying for others. We would pray for Lydia Moser. Help her, Father. Encourage her and strengthen her. And watch over her. And we would pray for Mark Robbins in his now time of recuperating from the accident. We ask for help for him. But spirit, soul, and body, we pray for ourselves and for our loved ones. In the name of Christ, who loved us and gave his life for us, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now I'd like us to sing Searcher of Hearts. It's number 455. To the book of Colossians, the letter of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 1, and this morning, C. That's a portion of the verse, you know that, don't you, friends? Now we've been in this book just starting to study it together, and we've looked at this first verse. First of all, there was an overview given, and that you might know what it's all about. It's a letter to a house church. Something like we have here. A man had a house. His name is Philemon. He owned the house, and they had folk come, and they had a house church. The Bible speaks a lot about house churches. And they do make sense, and if you're going to be biblical, you probably ought to give it a consideration. If it gets too many, they can do as the bees do, divide and multiply, which we've done here by the providence of God. Now, friends, I told you a little bit about to whom this letter was written. It was sent by the Apostle Paul by divine inspiration of God. And we not only looked at this book as an overview, but we looked at this man, Paul, the apostle. And when it comes to an apostle, they're unique. They're no longer, I believe, for today. They had to be folk that knew something about the presence of the Lord. I thought I had my notes there. Oh, here it is. Four things that you need to have before you can be an apostle. First of all, they had to be personally appointed by the Lord. And that is called. And we look at this section C of the first verse, and it says, he's made an apostle by the will of God, not by the will of man or his own agenda. You see, when you were little, they would come up to you and say, well, what are you going to be when you grow up? I say, well, what would you like to be when you grow up? So we'd say, well, maybe this or maybe that. Some people regard that they have their own agenda, do what they want to do. But we need to realize that God has made us. If he's the creator, and he is, then he should have some right over this body, this spirit, and this soul. I'd say, well, that makes sense. He has some right over. In fact, the Bible makes that amply clear, that he has right over us. And so the subject is, and I must tell you, I feel like a pinhead. I mean, how are you going to explain the mysteries of God and that God's will for each man's life? I can't. But I can give you some generalities and maybe even some specifics. And that might help you. I believe it will. And so if you listen up this morning, maybe you'll learn some things. I think Josh would have really had some things for this morning, but I hope we can get some things here together. So, to be called of God, God spoke to Paul on the turnpike to Damascus, knocked him off the horse, saved him, and called him to be a messenger of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Now, he also did minister to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. Told him a lot of other things, that you're going to have some tough times. You know, there's a generation today that says if you're a Christian, you ought to be, everything should be just fine. But the Word of God says in this world you shall have tribulations. Hey, have you discovered it? You say, well, I don't understand it. If I'm a child of God, why should I have any problems? You'll find out the Word of God says you'll have some problems. And this matter of knowing the will of God is a very important thing. And so even though I can't, I can't say to whom you should marry or what kind of car you should buy or something of that significance, I can't, but I can give you some principles from the Word of God. And that's one of the points we're going to get here. But back to Paul, the apostle. Not only was he personally appointed, but he had to have a direct revelation from Jesus Christ, which he did on the road to Damascus. And that only that, the apostle had to see the Lord. And he saw the Lord Jesus. Not only that, but he has given the ability to perform. He had supernatural gifts. Now, you can say what you want to about the gifts in the Bible. I believe they're there. And they can be operated in the providence of God. And I believe there is a time where somebody is sick and they really need some help. They ought to do as the Bible says in James, call for the elders, let them anoint them with oil and pray over them and see whether God would heal them. We aren't in the business of healing, but we believe God is able to heal, and so therefore we pray for this. And if you need a new tongue to speak in, you need to be converted and have the Spirit of God come in your life and change you, give you new hearts so you can speak. He did that to me. I'm speaking in a different tongue than which I was when I was a young man. Well, back to the subject of Colossians, please. Well, I am in that. I gave an overview, talked about Paul and what an apostle is and a messenger, called of God, a messenger of Jesus Christ. Well, but the will of God, by or through the will of God. and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful greetings, a salutation, a letter that different from the kind of letters that we write today. We usually sign our name at the bottom of a letter, but in a day in which this was written, as soon as you open the letter up, you knew where it's coming from. You didn't have to turn to the last page. A little different also because the sentences are large construction. And this generation is boy, that's for verses 9 through 13, that's one sentence. Yes, sir. You say, well, we weren't taught that in school. No, you weren't. But you weren't back in this day either. But it's one of those things you got to hang on and go through some of those long sentences in this letter. I want us to talk about this matter of Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and apply it to our lives. I mean, what is it good for me to stand up here and give you theological episodes and instruction but not have application? Paul did this. He gave a doctrinal background first, and then he said, okay, brethren, I'm going to show you that in a minute. Now here's what we need to do with that which you heard. Practical applications. And that's still for today. It's one thing to get a head full and pass your grades with A's, but it's another thing to get it down in our hearts, the innermost. Christianity is all about the innermost, the heart, in case you forgot. It isn't just the mental gymnastics. Some people have gotten that, especially in the Reform group. They think that being academic is really the answer for spirituality. No, it's still the heart. We need the new heart. And so this morning, I want us to see, first of all, it wasn't by the will of man. Not some group said, hey, Paul, you're a pretty good guy. I think we ought to use you. And he said, no, it wasn't by man. It wasn't by his own agenda. It is God, God's will, that he be a special messenger. And boy, he was brilliant. Really educated. Unless you get the idea that you're not going to be much of a Christian unless you're educated. You know, it's amazing me. It's amazed me. I've had some experience with fellows that couldn't read, but they learned how to read. They could read the Bible, but couldn't read the newspaper. God works in strange ways. Some of you know that Billy Sunday was a shoe salesman. You say, what are you going to brag on him for? I can't brag on him theologically, but I want to tell you something. He didn't have much of an education, and God used him marvelously in preaching Christ. I can't agree with what he taught, some of those things, but listen, you can't deny the fact that he preached the Lord Jesus, and God used the Word of God with Billy Sunday. Some of you know about T.T. Shields. He was not a so-called an academic trained man, but God really used him. And you can go on and on. My point of it is the Apostle Paul, he was really trained. God had to untrain him and show him that bragging doesn't pay and being a big shot doesn't pay. He made him humble. He had a condition which I believe was his eyes. And he said, boy, Lord, I need some help with this. And he prayed and prayed, and God said, listen, my grace will be sufficient for you. You have to just hang on with that problem. And that happens to some of us. But anyway, back to this matter of the will of God. You know, if we were really honest with one another this morning, we should have a sign hanging around us. We're under construction. Yes, sir, we're under construction. You think you arrived, you're not. You're under construction. God's working us. You know, we're only here temporarily. Only here temporarily. Yeah, but I'm young, I got years. You're only here temporarily. In fact, James makes it very clear when you get out of the house this morning, the cold air, did you get a little, could you see your breath? See, whew, that's vapor. James talks about vapor. He said, life is just but a vapor. Or like a fog that comes in. Fog is like a vapor, and then it clears out no longer. Brethren, if that's true, that our life is but a vapor and here and gone, don't you think we ought to get down to business and say, Lord, how about this? Am I in your will? Am I doing what's right? It may be I'll be gone yet today. You know? Am I ready to meet my Maker? The Bible says, you know, the Bible says it's appointed on the man once to die and then the judgment. Would you be ready for the judgment seat to meet the Lord? What's going to be your answer to the Lord when he approaches him? What right do you think you have to get in heaven? I talked to a man this week, and I'll share with you personally. And a nice fella. And as we were unloading hay, I began to talk to him and said, well, I'm going to ask you a question. You know, you seem like a rather intelligent fella. How's it with you as far as your salvation, your soul? He looked at me and said, well, I'm not much a religious man, but this is the way I figure. God created me, and he can do what he wants to with me. And I don't believe he'll send anybody to hell. That sounds like temporary culture, American culture, isn't it? God loves us. No one's going to go to hell. The Bible, the Lord Jesus speaks more about hell than he does heaven. Isn't that strange? And yet we have an idea we're all going to heaven. There's no hell. Yes, there is a hell. And so I said to him a little further, I said, well, I'm a little concerned about it. I want to talk to you a little more. But, you know, there's an eternity ahead. Life is more than what we have here. And he said, well, I think so, yeah. And I said, you know, the Bible says he is our Creator, but he also says we're to repent and we're to believe on the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Now, do you know that? Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, he made you. And I think when he made you, he said it's good. But you need to repent of your sins as I need to repent. And we need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross of Calvary. What a beautiful thing to do for us. He is an apostle of Jesus Christ, a messenger of Christ, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Anointed One, who took my place. He took my sins, and he bore them on the cross of Christ. God in the flesh. He was man, God, man, but he was God. And God shed his blood for my sins. Ought I not that he made me? Ought I not to say, what is it you want me to do? Not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. Is that asking too much? A lot of people talk about, well, I know the Lord. You do. Do you know him as far as discipleship? What do you mean by discipleship? It means that no matter what your plight in life is, that he is priority. He comes first. I wonder sometimes, is Christ first in our lives? What would you have me to do, Lord? And I want to get onto that eventually later, but I just would have you to understand. You know, I was talking to a preacher this week and had a delightful chat with him. I've had him in school. Now he's a preacher and we're talking. And I said, you know, I said, boy, you got a busy schedule. And he said, yeah, I do. I said, well, don't forget, you got to study. He works a secular job and has 3 services a week. And he has a 15-minute radio program on Sunday morning. And I said, boy, you got to get some study. It takes a lot of study to do that, doesn't it? You know, there are all kinds of preachers. Man's naming this. He said, you know, there are some people, preachers are called rocket preachers. What's a rocket preacher? He gets on a verse like I'm on this morning and never comes back. Boom. Never comes back to the verse. I hope I won't be a rocket preacher and not come back to what I'm talking about in Colossians. We're studying Colossians. But I do have to do this. He said there's also grasshopper preachers. You know grasshopper preachers? And a lot of them around town. They hop all over the place. You never know where they're going. Whee, bing, he'd get a verse here, a bit of verse here, there's a verse here. And you never know where he... And there is a place for putting a lot of scriptures together. But if we stay with the text, I'm staying with the will of God. And I'm going to use other scriptures. So I may be a rocket preacher, as a grasshopper preacher. I hope I won't be, as some call, us pet preachers. You know what a pet preacher is? Every time he gets up, you can be sure no matter where he is, he's going to zero in something that is his pet as far as his theology or his life understanding of certain things. He'll always end up on his pet subject. Well, we can't help some of these things. But with those of us who have been called of God to preach the good news, We may be different than what you want, but this is what you get. And so this morning I want to talk to us about the matter of the will of God and what is God's will for you. You see, I believe God does desire our salvation. We've got to start somewhere. Let's start with the first thing, and that is our salvation. Let's start there. And I believe it's God's will that we should start a matter of salvation. Now, I'm not going to get into it theologically, but some of you Reformed people ought to look with me at 1 Timothy. Just to jump around here, but it's very important. 1 Timothy and chapter 2. Now, I know there's I know what to, how to go at this, but I'm going to just broach it to you so you might understand. If you want to talk about the will of God, you got to start somewhere. We're going to start with a matter. You have to desire your own personal salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to look at that verse 4, which says God, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, verse 3, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I know what that means, but I want you to know something. Just put away all your theology for a moment. God wants you to be saved. Now, I don't know whether you're one of God's elect. I don't know that. But I'm going to preach to you that you need to know the Lord. And that's where we start with knowing the will of God. Do you know the Lord? He made you. He said, I know that. Now, what's he want me to do? I need to know under that. We have to have this intimate, personal relationship with Christ. We talk with him. His spirit resides in us. Why know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Guest? And so we have his spirit within us, Christ's spirit. And we talk, we're to be praying in the attitude of prayer all the time. It's not just coming to church and say, well, we had church service and we had prayer. Our Wednesday night we have prayer. I mean, that's fine, that's good, we should do that. But listen, prayer, if you know the Lord, you should be praying. Not just Sundays, not just Wednesday nights, but you should be praying, people. That's the will of God. The will of God is that you be saved, that you know Christ. And that you turn from your sins. And you've trusted in the Lord Jesus. And then after you know the Lord, the Word of God makes it amply clear that we ought to be praying, people. This is the will of God. You know, if we're... A lovely passage is Proverbs chapter 3. Why are you taking me there? Oh, beloved, if we're going to talk about the will of God, we got to hear some of these beautiful passages. And they're just full. And how can I explain the will of God if we don't use the Word of God to try to explain it? And I still want us to see what it means that Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ through or by the will of God. Now in this third chapter, will you look with me, starting there at verse 5. It says, we're to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. We're talking about the will of God now. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You think you can sleep on that for a while? What? What? It said you trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't be leaning on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And what will he do? He shall direct thy paths. Thank you, Lord. That's very good. I appreciate that. Now, since we're nearby, let's zero in Psalms 119 for my next point. Psalm 119, which is about the Word of God. Now, I believe that if you want to know the will of God, you need to be personally saved. You need to personally need the Word of God to know the Word of God. So Psalm 119, which is all about the Word of God, and I want us to turn there to verse 105. Why do I need to study the Bible? I have the news on TV. I get a newspaper. I get magazines. I have books. Why do I need to read this book? This is a divine inspired Word of God. And verse 105 makes it very clear that the Word, that is the Word of God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I like that. It's a light. What do I need a light for? We'll come down some night and not turn the lights on. We'll take a walk to the barn. Not turn any lights on. You'll trip. You'll fall. You'll stumble. How important is it that I know this book and read this book and not just optionally say, well, I believe it, and I put it on the coffee table so everybody can see I believe in the precious word, but do we read it? Listen, you're going to stumble in this dark world if you don't study this book a little bit and read this book. Do I have to know from the front to the beginning everything? No, but we ought to be looking at it and reading it. Some of you can read a whole passage and retain it. Some of us can only read just a passage or two. But we just got to be reading it. It's a lamp. Turn the light on, Lord. I've got some areas in my life that seem to be kind of dark. I need some light on the subject. What am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do? You made me and you saved me. Now what is it you want me to do? He said, I want you to do this. You got to remember the Word of God is a lamp, a light unto my feet, and a light to my path. All right, I think I better get the light, and I'm going to use the light. Turn it on. What good is it if you don't turn it on? Not only do we need to be saved, and we need to know the Word of God, and I'm making it very general, we also need to know this morning that we need to be prayerful. And you know, I did mention about praying, but I want to go back to that. And so where we go? Well, I think we go to New Testament. By the way, in the New Testament, it speaks a lot about prayer. And Ephesians 6, there's a passage here about praying, especially living in an age that it's militant towards the things of God. And it talks about how we ought to be, how we ought to dress spiritually. Excuse me. It also tells us here in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, and I start with verse 17. It tells us how to prepare ourselves, spiritually speaking, by these symbols. But verse 17 of the 6th chapter of Ephesians says, you're to take the helmet of salvation. Okay, I know the Lord personally. Now, the sword of the Spirit. What's the sword of the Spirit? You're to take the Word of God. Fine. You just talked to us about the Word of God, and you're supposed to take the Word of God. Does that mean in a militant situations, do you just walk around with a nice gun, walk around all, or a nice sword, say, boy, that sharp sword you have? No, there's a spiritual battle going out there. We need the Word of God. You need to hear God's Word preached. This church needs to preach the Word of God, and so you can be fortified, built up in the faith, so you have a light in the dark world. And it's like a sword, you're to use it. But look at the next verse. Nice to know the Word of God, but it says you need to be praying. It says you're praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, capital S, which is the Holy Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're in a real battle, dear friends. If you haven't found it out, the world, the flesh, and the devil is a real battle. You need the Word of God. You may think you know a lot, but you don't know this blessed book. You need to get all you can get out of it. But not only do you need this blessed book, but you need to be asking the Lord. You need to be praying. Praying always. The Bible makes it clear in Philippians 4, which we studied. It's right here near. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Right here it is, next book. Look at that fourth chapter in verse 6. You say, well, I don't know what... God's not interested in little things. He's only interested in big things in my life. Is that right? How about Philippians 4 and verse 6? Does that sound like he's only interested in big things? It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer in supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. Huh. You know, that's strange. You walk in your clothes closet and say, well, I wonder what I wear. You girls do this, don't you? Well, I wonder what I wear today. God says, pray about everything. Oh, come on. Look at it. Don't come on. Look at it. It says we're to pray about everything. Be careful. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God couldn't possibly be interested in some of the small insignificant things in my life. Well, that's your thinking. Lean not on your own understanding. Yesterday, my wife and I were hurrying to get to a place. And I took my brother's advice. He said, drive with your lights on. Hey, Bob, I'm talking to you. Drive with your lights on. And I got this old car, and I drive my lights on. I take a listen to it. And it pays to listen to him. I thought, my brother Donald Robinold, if he would have had somebody, that man in his pickup truck would have had his headlights on, maybe Donald would pull in front of him. I know his time, the time to be born, the time to die. I understand that. So I turned the headlights on. Went in the store to get some flowers for the Robinold family. Looking around, came back out. I said, oh, no, not again. He didn't hesitate. Oh, Lord, make this thing start. So I prayed, what am I going to do? I'm in a hurry. Left the dumb lights on. Well, you can't blame anybody but yourself. I said, that's right. Boy, do I need help. I see this old guy walking down there. I said, you know, he must be my age. He's older than I am. He knows what it is to have a jump on another car. I'll just see where he goes. He went and he got in his little cars. I walked over and I said, hi. He said, hi. And I said, hey, you look like a fellow can understand my problem. I had my jumper cables. I said, I left the lights on. They said, I can't get my car started. He said, oh, I have had that happen. And he said, I have a car like yours. It's older than yours. But he said, oh, we've done that. I've done that. He said, where are you? I said, over there. Came right over, hooked it up, boom. Now listen, do you think God wanted me to talk to Jerry beardlessly? That's his name. Yeah. I thanked him. He said, I handed him the card and I said, I appreciate it. I'm in a hurry. I said, here's a, give you a card and let you know if there's anything I can do to help you. I'd be glad to help you. He said, you could help me if you pray for me. He said, good man upstairs. He said, and he's about 80, maybe he's 90, I don't know. He says, I need to be prayed for. Did I pray? Yes, indeed. I'm in a hurry! Well, good for you. Maybe it isn't God's plan. He wants you to talk to Jerry. Did you make it? We made it. Thank you, Lord. We made it. God's ways. You say, well, you're going to try to tell us God's will. I told you I feel like a BB brain trying to explain something like this, but there's some general principles that are not BB brain principles. And that is, you need to know Jesus Christ personally, intimately, have His Spirit in you. And you need to be studying and hearing this blessed Word of God. And you need to be a disciple, not just a believer. And that is what you have me to do, God. And you need to carry your cross, whatever it might be. Maybe He wants you to talk to somebody. Do you ever think about that? Not just preachers. God loved you and gave His life for you. You have a debt to pay. You need to be talking about the Lord Jesus more and more. Ah, yes. So it's about everything to pray. Is that important? He says, it is important. It's my will that you pray. All right, all right. Don't get all jump about it. I do think we need to jump about it. And then I would have you to understand that in the counsel of many there is wisdom, the Bible says. In fact, we're near here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. Do we need to associate with other Christians? Well, maybe you're a recluse. Maybe you're not right being a recluse. It talks about the need for fellowship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called in unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, brethren, we need to do that. Now he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. How are you going to do that if you don't associate with one another? God says, I want you, as in the will of God, I want you to associate especially with other Christians. But not just them alone. And those at your work, they need to know the blessed Lord Jesus too. You need to be talking about Him. Yeah. Yeah. You know, this matter of taking counsel. That scripture verse I just quoted to you, that in the counsel of many there's wisdom or safety. You say, well, it would be humbling for me to say, what should I do about this? How would that be humbling? It may surprise you, some of us have been through that area, been there and done that. We might be able to help you. Listen, ladies, you older ladies, I don't know where that starts. Is that after 35? Is that after 35? You ladies after 35 then, you ought to be teaching the younger ladies. Oh, well, they won't pay attention to me. They have their thing, they have their TV, they have their iPods. They won't. Hey, hold on a minute. Where's the power of God in His Word? Take a little time. Say, honey, I know where you're coming from. I've been there. I just want to help you and just say this to you. The Bible says that, well, for instance, modesty. What would be wrong with an older lady talking to a young gal and say, you know, modesty, honey. Us older fellas. Make friend of young guys? No, I'm an old. Nobody pays attention to me. Well, maybe they don't. But they just might. Remember when you were a young guy? 70-some years ago? Huh? Whatever. You appreciate it when an older fellow came around and said, hi, how you doing there, boy? We don't talk to young fellas. Oh, boy. To know God's will, we need to associate with other Christians especially. It says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together, as the manner of some is, as much as you see the coming of the Lord. You know, some Christians, they say, I know the Lord, and I talk to the Lord. I don't go to church. I don't need church. What do I need to go to church for? I can worship God outside. Listen, he said, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. You say, well, I don't make it a regular point. You're sinning. Now, how in the world can you expect God to bless you freely when you're saying, I'm going to do it my way? He said, listen, you do it my way. He said, I'm the Creator. I'm the Savior. I've done all this for you. You give me priority. You listen up now. My word says this. He said, I want you to be worshiping God. It's not an optional. You go buy a car, you can get some options. You don't get an option in the Christian life. He said, do this. Assemble together. Pray. Read the Word of God. You say, that's your opinion, preacher. Listen, there's a difference between opinion and facts. I'm giving you some facts. Facts from God. Sure, you have an opinion. That's all right. It's based upon the Word of God. It's all right. And then, for the day at least, we're here in 1 Corinthians. Just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Why? Well, I think that to know God's will for us, we got to know that our lives are to be separated from the world. Well, you've been kind of hanging on that already. That's why I know that. But I do know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it has a section here that I think that we ought to consider from time to time. The last part of that 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians. What's it say? Well, it's saying here we need to be separated from the world. That's one thing it says. Well, read it. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell on them, and I walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore? Here we come now. You want God's will. Listen to it. Wherefore? Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Precious. Well, does that mean, Lord, that I got to go around with black clothes and be an isolationist? Mommy and me, the baby makes three? Kind of a religion? Or maybe don't smoke, don't chew, and do it, go with those who do, you know, all that kind of stuff. Some Christians think that to be a Christian is to be an isolationist, a recluse. I don't talk to people. I mind my own business. I figure God is in control. And I think his will is sufficient. And I don't. He doesn't need me. He says, you're to be co-laborers. What's that word? The Bible says we're to be co-laborers with the Lord. Co-laborers. I had a co-worker. Yeah, now you're getting it. He said, I want you to, you're my hands, you're my feet, and you're my mouth. You're mine, and you're to speak. Does that just mean for preachers? No, come on. The Great Commission is not just for preachers. Go ye into all the world. It's for all who know the Lord. Each one teach one. Talk about Jesus. You say, well, that sounds radical. Well, how radical is this we just read to you? It said to be separated. Wow. It isn't preached very much. I suppose some of us preachers maybe are at fault. You say you're going to watch a movie, okay? What do you do when you come to that section of the movie that you know is raunchy? You say, well, I can't do anything about it. I guess I'll just have to sit here and see how it goes. No, you don't. You got a remote. Go somewhere else where you at least have two channels where one you can trust. You don't need to see that scene. You say, well, generally it's good, but it's not that. There's got to be some bad in it. Well, you're in this world. You're going to find some good things. You're going to find some bad things. It says to separate yourself from the bad things. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. What do you mean you don't know how to do that? Come on. We aren't that slow, are we? You take, for instance, music. You say, well, I like certain music. That's fine. You think the Lord's pleased with it? Worldly. Listen to the words. Oh, my word! And I play it. I go down the street and boom, 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 boom. I can hear you a block away. You think that's pleasing to the Lord? The Lord said, come out from among them, be separate. These are the things that you need to learn. And entertainment. Wow. That's another subject, isn't it? Entertainment. The Bible says, the will of God is don't be nurturing the flesh. The world, the flesh, and the devil. As a believer in Jesus Christ, it's very easy just to relegate yourself, just to let her go and just nurture the flesh. And we wonder why we don't have the God speaking to our conscience and to our innermost being and guiding and direct us, because we're all wound up in nurturing the flesh. I feed the flesh. I just feed it, I feed it, I feed it. And that can be through many ways. You can do that academically. I'm a reader. I just read everything. I'm a great reader. Well, that can be fleshly too. I was talking to a man this week, and I said, you have an internet? Computer? Nope. I said, well, I was going to tell you, check us out on the internet on a web page. He said, tell you why I don't have a computer. He said, it's flesh. I said, yep, it is. But I said, did you ever hear of a thing called parental control? What? Parental control. Well, yeah, I don't know what you mean. Well, there's an apparatus that you can put on the computer that cuts out, for the most part, the flesh. Oh, I never heard of that.
You even got an outlet. And I believe it can beat these hackers. That you can put your, you can arrange for your own personal computer that certain channels will not be seen unless they know the password. And you can have children say, well, we're going to watch this tonight. Aren't you going to watch this? It's like, I can't. Dad has a computer rigged so you can't get on that channel unless you have Dad's password. I tried to do that with my daughter one time, one of my daughters. I took her little radio and I changed it in the side so she could only dial so far. She knew how to take the change of that. These children are young, they're smart. But if you don't know the password, you'll have a hard time getting in on that channel. Why am I telling you? Because there's some idea that there's so much good that they say I have nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that whatsoever. When there's a bunch of things on there that are excellent and good and God-pleasing. Put a control on it. You can have a control for a TV. You can have a control for an internet. A computer. I said, boy, you really...